Your scripture reading today is Colossians 2.
For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding in the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ.
Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving.
See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority.
In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross.
He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regards to a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath. For these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ.
Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God.
If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we've been blessed in song, we've had child dedication, and we had a family read the scriptures. It's quite a start to the morning, is it not? Amen. Well, good morning, my College Park family. Whether you're here in person or joining us online, I want to take this moment to welcome you and invite you to truly be here, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It is easy to sit in a seat, to sing songs, to hear words, and yet miss what God wants to say to us. I know that from personal experience. There are many times a few years back I was sitting up there and the music team would put on a great series of worship songs, and I'd sit there in my seat and I'd just criticize them. Oh, they ought to be able to do that. Look how many people they got on staff. They're all week long just singing a song. They ought to do something. And then I'll hear a message, and I think, oh, that was all right. But I preached 2-3 times this week. I've been studying my Bible. I don't need that. And I walked in and left unchanged. Let that not be so today. Let us be open. Let us be expectant, because God is here and he has something to say to us. Yesterday would have been Sharon's birthday. We were married 48 and a half years before she went to be with the Lord. On March 9th, 2024, Pat and I entered into a covenant marriage. God has blessed us with a new family. In the picture is missing Stacy, Justin's wife, Michael, Anthony, Brianna, and Jada, Pat's grandchildren. Some of you, like me, have experienced deep struggles since we last gathered. Some of you are walking right now through hard seasons, facing sickness, death, a broken marriage, a prodigal child, loss of a job, or depression. Others are wrestling with societal and cultural tensions, racism, injustice, immigration challenges, or the pain of being misunderstood or profiled. Others feel invisible, judged by their accent or background. These are real struggles, real wounds. And now in this season, when our church is seeking a lead pastor, some of us are tempted to disengage. We're more focused on criticizing the recognition task force or being impatient on the timing rather than on seeking the Lord's voice. And may I just add to you, please respect those on the recognition task force. I know some of you, oh, I'm friends. Who are you talking to? We got anybody in the pipeline? I want this one in the pipe. Just pray for them, please. It's all stuff confidential, all right? Oh, yeah, I'm trying, bro. My plea to you today is don't miss what God wants to say to us. For some, today will be a word of encouragement during your trials. For others, a call to recommit your life to Christ. For still others, it will be a divine moment to personal repentance and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But for all of us, this is a sacred time where we ask the Spirit of God to speak to us through his word and to transform us by his power. Last week, Pastor Mitch, and I will remind you that Mitch is bald-headed. And I will also remind you, bald heads are going to take over this church, so keep looking. Pastor Mitch, he reminded us about the struggle and strength. He reminded us that grace is not opposed to effort, but to earning. We don't earn salvation by what we do, but grace inquires and empowers us to work because we're saved. The Christian life isn't easy, but strength often comes through suffering, and victory comes through sacrificial love, he said, speaking the truth in love, and supplication for the saints. Now today, we're going to be looking at Colossians 2, 6, and 7, rooted and built up in Christ by faith. So let us open our hearts, let us press in, let us receive what God wants to give. I'm going to go over four things, basically, and then give an application. The faith by which we were saved, and I want to relate that to our growth culture here, belong. And then I want to talk about growing by faith rooted in Christ. And then thirdly, built up and established by faith in Christ. Those are two growth components of our culture. And then I want to talk about the faith that abounds in thanksgiving. That's multiplying, going out and telling the world about what Christ has done in our lives. And then we'll talk about some application. So let's look at the scripture. The scripture says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Couple things I want you to pick up very quickly as we go through this text. is, number one, he says, as you have received him. Speaking of Jesus, how do we receive him? Those of us who are truly saved, we know that we received him by faith. This do we not? It was by faith, not the works we've done, nothing that we've earned, but by his death, burial, and resurrection, he died for our sins, that his righteousness might be charged to our account, that we might be saved totally by the grace of God. It's faith met with nothing else. It's Christ and Christ alone. But he warns us, or he encouraged the believers. In other words, Paul encourages them by saying, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, so walk in him. That means live. Live out the Christian life that you have received the same way you received it, that is by faith. Rooted and built up in him. Don't stray away from him. That's Christ. And established in, and the word is, the faith. That is critical because he says, as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Sometimes when we're talking about faith, we think basically subjectively. What I believe is my belief, is your beliefs, is my truth, is your truth, is your God, is my God, is your religion, is my religion. But what this text is telling us, this faith is based upon objective truth. It is the teaching of the apostles. It's what Paul taught and what you and I must respond to. It's not any kind of faith that gets you saved. It is faith in objective truth. That is the truth that God Almighty created us in his image. He rules over this entire world. He know that we fell into sin and we are corrupted and deserving of hell, but he so loved us that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, who's never sinned, but he died a sinner's death, that you and I might be saved, might be born again, might be raised from the dead, might have life with him. That is how we're saved, period. You cannot create your own God. You got to respond to the God who created you. Amen. And there's three aspects to biblical faith. Number one, God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, this idea of worshiping some unknown God or thinking there is no God, having faith in yourself or something else, that's not going to work, folks. He is God, and he has spoken. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:18-20, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We call that general revelation. That God speaks to us through his creation. As we look at it and figure, where did this come from? How did it get here? Who sustains it? He is our God. That's general revelation. But general revelation can't give you the gospel. You need special revelation, or you need the word of God. You need the book that you have, these 66 books. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15-17, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There is a God who created us. There's a God who spoke to us, especially in his word, and gave us the way of salvation. And then the third point, there's not only God and his word, but there's the human response. If you're saved, you repented of your sins. You believed on Christ. Beloved, if God has awakened you, if he's moved in your heart, this faith that we're talking about, it is a faith in a God who's alive, a God who loves us, a God who sent his son to die for us, a God who raised his son from the dead, a God who indwells us by the Spirit of God, opens our eyes to the word of God, and we respond to him and believe on him, and we're saved. That's faith, biblical faith. And he says, it's as you've been taught. I want to suggest to you that we're in the university of Jesus. That some of you say, I'm tired of school. Well, you still in, all right? Some of you say, well, I graduated. No, you haven't graduated. Out of this school, you're in the University of Jesus. This faith is talked about in Colossians 1:4, where he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Colossians 1:23 says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and don't be moved from the hope of the gospel which you heard. In Colossians 2:13-14, he says, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Salvation has nothing to do with us and everything to do with Jesus. He's the righteous one. He died for sin, though he never sinned. He lived a life that he gave to us. We have the very righteousness of Christ. It's through the cross. It's the gospel. That's how we got saved. And this book is warning these saints, don't get pulled away. Don't go to some other strange doctrine. In fact, Jude 3, it says this in Jude 1:3. It's one chapter, so Jude 3, I tell you. It says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our coming salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a warning. You and I have got to be careful that we stick with Jesus. He is the one. He's the way we come into the family of God. It's by salvation. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. In fact, we deserve the exact opposite. But the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. He found us when we were weak, when we were without power. He saved us by his grace. I'll never forget getting saved. Man, I was 18 years old in high school. I heard the gospel when I was in seventh grade. And like some of you, if you asked me what I was, I would say I am a Christian. By that I meant I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Hindu. I'm a Christian. Because I heard the gospel when I was in seventh grade and I came out of that Sunday school class thinking that, I mean, the guy presented the gospel. He says, Jesus, this is death. But I came out of that thinking, man, I don't know anybody perfect. You ain't going to heaven because you're perfect, but I'm better than most of these kids. I'm going to go to heaven because I'm pretty good. And I began to examine my life, and I stopped doing some things that I considered sin because I thought God was going to judge on a curve. And when he judged, I wanted to be an upper level. And I lived that way from seventh grade until my senior year, and I was confronted with my own sin, my own unworthiness. And furthermore, I was popular in high school. And I had a lot of friends because I played sports and I was popular. And I thought, how many people love me for me? How many people want to be my friends simply because of what I do? And two men came to my house on a Monday night and they told me about the love of God. He died for us when we were yet sinners. When we were weak, we had nothing that commended us to him. Christ died for my sins. I believed on the Lord that night. I was saved that night. God transformed my life that night. I became part of the family of God that night. That's one of our core values here, is biblical unity and diversity. How come we got biblical unity and diversity? Because I want to be a diverse. No, most of y'all, be honest, you want people to look like you, smell like you, and think like you. But God gave us different people. He told me to love him because he put his love in me. I'm part of the family, dude. I don't care whether you like it or not. You said, I don't like your bald head. Well, get over it. Get sanctified. Get your head bald. Because, listen, God has made us a diverse family by his own divine choice. And that's why we have a group in this church called 3DG, Diversity Discipleship Discussion. They'll be having a meeting in the gym in the second service, talking about how do we come together? How do we live together? That God's put us in this. We belong in this family. But not only do we need to know how we got saved, but we are growing by faith. Not only are we saved by faith, but we're growing by faith, rooted in Christ. The Bible says rooted and built up in him. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Psalms 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever he do shall prosper. Growing. Our roots. How deep is your roots? You started by faith. You got to continue to grow by faith. Listen to Luke 8. The Bible says, starting in verse 11, as Jesus is given a parable about sowing seeds, sower goes out sowing seeds in the garden. It says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Now the ones that fell amongst the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. That, my friend, is a warning. We got to be rooted in Jesus. All kinds of things. The devil's going to try to snatch the word out. Things of life are going to try to pull the word out. But I want you to know, there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is good. The problem is the soil. Cultivate your heart. Be receptive. Open your mind and ask the Spirit of God to open your eyes and understanding. Allow him to cultivate being in the Word of God. I know some of you say, but brother, well, the Word is, it's dull. I mean, there's no life in it. It's not interesting. You got it all wrong. You're dull. You're dead. The Word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. The Spirit got to do a work in you. The Word's okay. So you got to put the seed in the soil and let it go deep. You and I need to seek it and yield to it, because that's the way we're rooted and grounded. All kinds of things we're going to face in life. But we're going to be rooted and grounded in him by faith. Lord, just as you saved me, I want to keep standing in the word of God and hearing the word of God and building my life upon the word of God. I want the soil of my heart to be cultivated so that the seed goes down and take deep roots and hold me fast as I continually look to Christ. But not only root it and ground it, but we're to be built up and established in the faith. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Another warning, Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit, you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lewdness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. That's a warning, beloved. You have trials in your life. You have difficulties in your life. You say, but I'm saved. I'm trusted Christ. I believed on him. My sins are forgiven. I'm trying to walk in obedience and submission to him. But my life is a mess. All this stuff is going on. Let me give you a word. Trials are not meant to destroy you, but to develop you and demonstrate your faith. God is working in you. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. He will be with you. The Spirit of God, keep looking to him by faith. God, I can't do this alone. God, you're the one who saved me. You opened my eyes. God, you gave me the desire. God, I want to labor with you and do what you want me to do. Listen to this. James 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. First time I read that and said, you got to be out of your mind. I ain't counting nothing joy until I get out. But there's a purpose. That's why we can count it joy. Notice, he says, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith, the faith that saved you, the faith that you live by as a Christian, the faith that you serve by as a Christian, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's the way God grows you as a Christian. That's the way he gets your foundation firm. 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 6. Says, in this you greatly rejoice. Well, what are they rejoicing in? He was talking about they have a heavenly inheritance. It's reserved. It's kept by the power of God. Looking forward to that. Are we rejoicing that? He said, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved through various trials. Trials bring grief. Verse 7 says, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. Amen. We live by faith, beloved. We live by faith. We're rooted in him. We're grounded in him. We got a firm foundation on which we stand. If we're rooted in him, if we're grounded in him, we're ready as we live to fight the battles and trials that come our way. That leads me to my final point. Faith that abounds in thanksgiving. If salvation is the foundation of us belonging, because God has made us part of the family. Growth is our maturity in Christ, growing deep in the Word of God, having a life that over time has been tested and our faith is further developed and we're maturing in Christ because we've not been deceived and pulled away from the fact that Jesus is everything we need. Then we get to this point that our faith might abound in thanksgiving. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Firm foundation, deep roots, established in the faith as you have been taught according to the apostles' doctrines, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Trials are hard. Trials are discouraging. But beloved, when you and I can see, God's never failed us yet, and he won't. Hebrews 11 is a great chapter to read. It says all these things, by faith, 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 everything by faith. Then I like the way it ends. Verses 36 to 40 says, still others had trials of mockings and scourgings. Yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted. Were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Hear that? Did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Sometimes, beloved, in our lives, we think we got faith, but we don't think we received a promise. We don't get what we ask God for. But by faith, we persevere. Hebrews 12 follows up with this. Therefore, in light of this hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, they went before us. They know that we can make it by faith. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised and ashamed, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, this makes this point that we'll be to give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. Some of us are rocked by circumstances. I'll never forget, I've told it to you before. In 1998, my world was rocked. I had no plans, I had nothing for this. My son, Matt, broke his neck and became a quadriplegic. I didn't know how I was going to make it. I figured the college that I was president of, they needed a president, so I'd lose my job and lose that income. My wife, she didn't work. She was home with the children. I didn't know how much money it would take because his neck was broken and he's going to be a quadriplegic. And my world shattered. No plan, no hope, nowhere to turn. I got in a plane headed from Washington State back to Indianapolis. In my seat, I'm crying, I'm weeping. I'm saying to God, I don't know what's happening. I gave you my life to follow you. And everything's destroyed. Well, to make a long story short, God showed me something. I got back. My family rallied around Matt. Matt had an incredible attitude that he has even to this day. God was working in our midst. Our kids rallied around him. My wife rallied around him. I had one son who was graduating from Cedarville University. And I told him, I said, son, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to take care of your brother. I don't have enough money. I mean, I'm going to try to get two or three jobs. I'm going to do what I got to do. But if you'd come home and work for 1 year and give our family your money, help me get on my feet so I can take care of your brother, I appreciate that. He said, Dad, I don't do that. I mean, I broke in tears. I didn't know what I was going to do. I told the college, I said, listen, I know you gotta get a president can run the college. My family's hurt. I gotta take care of my family first. And so I can't do my college responsibilities as president. Just tell me, give you a 2-week notice. What do you want? I'll give you the notice. The board came back and said, take care of your family. We don't care how long it takes. You're still gonna get paid. This church and others got together and started the Matt Well Trust Fund. On a Sunday night, this church took up $167,000. Some business people in the community had a banquet for our family. They took up $107,000. We wound up with over $300,000. People gave us meals. They prayed for us. They ate everything. God just bought it out. And that's why even today when I face a trial, He didn't fail me then, and He won't fail me now. He's faithful. Through it all, beloved, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. My roots have been deep. I'm built on that faith. I know who saved me. I know what He can do. And I'm encouraging you. He's on your side. A couple of applications as we leave. I'm going to give you one, remember to whom you belong, and you're His by faith alone. Pat gave me a little thing from a sermon. I was talking to her about it. She said, oh, I remember a time. I told the ladies, keep your eyes on the right seat. I said, oh, that's Deering. She told me, Charlie, that's me. She said, no, keep your eyes on the right seat, not circumstances, but Christ. Keep your faith in Him. So true. You need to take opportunities to grow. This church has so many opportunities to grow. We can't even talk about them. But plug it in and get a part of it and let God deepen you. Lean on the saints to help you. We're growing and then multiply. Go tell it on the mountains. Tell it everywhere with thanksgiving. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. He keeps me. I serve because of Him. I'm empowered by Him. You want to know somebody? Come learn about Jesus. If you're not saved, I want to encourage you. Come to Him. I just want to end. I hope you were here. Totally here. And I hope you heard what the Lord has to say. And I hope you respond appropriately. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the people of God. Oh God, how we need to be rooted and grounded in Christ by faith. And God, I pray for those who are here who may not be saved, who are lost. Open their eyes, help them to see their sin, but help them to see your love. Help them to see the Savior. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.